This is Mrs. Dozier, and I will be reading Chapter 8, Miss Sybil's Song. As the days passed, Mona got to know the hotel and its routines. Still, there was a lot to learn. She left her duster in a room once, and another time forgot to put out acorn cookies on a pillow. But soon enough, and with very little supervision, she was cleaning rooms all by herself. Mrs. Higgins was still too sick to spend much time with Mona. But now, every morning, Mona had a list of rooms pinned to the office door with one of the hedgehog's spines, which looked almost like Mrs. Prickle's quills. Once Mona made the mistake of calling the hedgehog Miss Prickles. Mrs. Higgins sternly reprimanded her, and Mona learned just how dissimilar the two were. Luckily, she was saved from further lecturing by a sneeze. "She needs a good rest," said Tilly. "How could you think she looks like Mrs. Prickles?" Humph. There were no sneezes to save Mona from Tilly. Tilly, however, was strangely quiet and distracted when the squirrels, 15 from different parts of the forest, arrived. Their convention was certainly distracting. During their meetings in the ballroom, the squirrels were serious, but as soon as the meetings were over, they drank lots of malted honey, which led to flying squirrels soaring down the stairs, nutcracking competitions, and once balcony jumping, which Mr. Hartwood was not pleased with. Mona and Tilly had to clean up the squirrels' messes. One time, Tilly even left her own duster in a room. When Mona rescued it, Tilly was actually nice and thanked her. But it didn't take Tilly long to return to her usual self. One night, Tilly asked Mona if she was ever going to unpack her suitcase. When Mona confessed that there was nothing inside, Tilly laughed and said, "Good, then you won't have anything to pack up when you're let go." Mona tried to laugh too, though the words stung. She wished she could say something, but she wasn't quite sure what. She had never had to stand up for herself before. She'd always been on her own. Was Tilly alone too? Mona had never seen her write a letter or receive one, though many of the other staff did. Miss Prickles had so many relatives that she was constantly getting small deliveries, letters, and special herbs to cook with. Maggie and Maurice, the laundry rabbits, were in fact sister and brother. But Tilly never mentioned any family, and Mona was afraid to ask. Miss Prickles gave Mona her only clue. After a particularly tough day with Tilly, Mona was sitting in the kitchen having some licorice tea and seed cakes. She was reaching for her fifth seed cake when Miss Prickles chuckled. "Oh," said Mona, pulling back her paw. "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to eat so many. I didn't realize." "No, no, I take it as a compliment, dearie. But tell me, is something the matter?" "It's Tilly," Mona confessed. Miss Prickle sighed heavily. "What has she done now?" "Nothing exactly. She's just so mean to me, all the time. Everyone else is nice. You, Miss Higgins, even if she's stern, Mr. Hartwood, but not her." Miss Prickle sighed again. "Don't judge her too harshly, dearie. She's had a tough time, that squirrel." "That's what Mr. Higgins said too, but what do you mean?" "It's not my tale to tell, nor Mr. Higgins," said the porcupine. "But remember, everyone's heart has hurt, some more than others." "Did a hurt allow you to hurt others, though?" Mona didn't think so. Still, she wondered exactly what hurt Tilly. She couldn't imagine Tilly ever crying, not like Sybil, the swallow who she had seen on the balcony. Sybil obviously had hurts. No one knew how she had injured her wing. She was very shy and rarely left her room. All Mona knew was that she was booked to stay here for the rest of the fall and the winter too. It was growing cold in the hotel now, and one morning Mona decided to ask Miss Higgins for a warm blanket for her bed. Mrs. Higgins was wrapped in a blanket herself at her desk. Tilly was pouring her some tea while they went over a schedule. "Of course, Mona, you may have a blanket. Of course," said the hedgehog, dabbing at her red nose with her handkerchief. "And bring up one to Miss Sybil on twig 44 while you're at it," she put in a request. "I can do that, ma'am," said Tilly quickly. "It's best if Mona does it. Miss Sybil is very shy." Tilly didn't look pleased, so Mona didn't stay to hear any more and hurried out to the laundry room. She found the softest blanket she could and carried it up to the swallow's room. She was about to knock when she heard a noise inside. Not just any noise, singing. Though she knew it wasn't polite, she pressed her ear against the door to listen. Tweet, trit, chitty, deep, onward, southward, wing to wing. Here we soar, hear us sing, onward, southward, home we go, where the flowers bloom and warm winds blow. The tune drifted into a series of lovely tweet, trits, then it stopped. Mona waited and then knocked hesitantly on the door. A moment later, the swallow opened it a crack, just enough to poke her beak out. Yes, she said timidly. I'm so sorry to disturb you, said Mona, but I've brought the blanket.
The blanket?
Mona held it up. You requested it. The bird nodded. Oh, yes, she said. She was about to take it in her beak when Mona added, I heard you singing. It was beautiful.
Oh,
it was better than the blue bow warblers, continued Mona enthusiastically. Sybil gave a tiny chirping laugh and then after a pause said, my flock liked my voice too. I always led the migration melodies.
Was that what you were singing, a migration melody?
Part of one. Oh, said Mona, wondering what the rest of it was like. As though the bird had read her mind, she quietly added, if you would like, I could sing the rest of it for you.
Mona knew the rules. She wasn't supposed to talk, much less be entertained by them.
But the swallow opened the door, and Mona couldn't help it. She stepped inside. She hadn't been in Sybil's room before. Usually Tilly cleaned it when Sybil visited the stargazing balcony. Unlike the other bird rooms on the twig floor, which had bird baths built into their balconies and many roosting pegs stuck into the walls, this room was bare and small. It didn't really seem like a bird room at all, except that instead of a bed, there was a nest of twigs, moss, and blankets built up in one corner of the room. There was a single peg on the wall which looked more like a coat hook than a roosting peg. Below it was carved, something that made Mona's eyes go wide, another heart, just like the one on her suitcase, except this one had an inscription below it. Heartwood Hotel. Home for all, forever, thanks, M and T. It is so nice of Mr. Heartwood to let me stay here, Sybil explained, considering how few Fernwood farthings I have. Supposedly, he's let other guests who are in need stay here before. Mr. Heartwood is really kind, agreed Mona as she added the blanket to the nest, wondering who the other guests could be. Sybil took her place on the roosting peg, so Mona sat down on the moss rug to listen to the swallow sing. The rest of the song was as wonderful as the first part she'd heard, and when it was done, Mona clapped and Sybil glowed. Would you like to hear some others? Asked the swallow. Please, replied Mona. And so Sybil began another about the sea, and when it was finished, another about the moon. That's one of my favorites, Sybil said shyly, when she was finished adjusting her wing in its sling. She looked out at the sky. At night, I gaze at the moon and think of my flock. I wish I could be with them. What happened? Asked Mona quietly. It was the storm. On the day of the Acorn Festival, a gust of wind took me by surprise and knocked me into a branch, and I sprained my wing. I can't fly south with a sprained wing, so I came here. I heard about the Heartwood and knew it would be a safe place to stay. I hoped my wing would heal quickly, but it hasn't, and now I know I must stay until spring. Though I have barely enough farthings even for this room, especially if it's a long winter. But worse, although the hotel is so comfortable and I'm treated well, it's not the same as being with my friends. It's lonely. I'm lonely. Mona nodded and added thoughtfully, I guess I never really had many friends.
Oh, said Sybil, looking surprised.
But you are so kind and friendly. I thought you must have lots of friends. Mona shook her head. I've never stayed anywhere long enough.
What about here? Said Sybil.
I'm new, said Mona. I arrived the same day as you, but I do like it here very much. As the words left her mouth, Mona realized it was true. Despite her troubles with Tilly, I like it too, even if I miss my friends. In fact, I've even started to make up a song about the hotel. Would you like to hear it? It's not quite finished, though. Mona knew she would leave,
But how could she resist a song about the Hartwood? She nodded eagerly. Sybil had just begun. Hartwood Hotel, where feathered and furred together can dwell. Whew! Amen. The door, which hadn't fully closed, swung open to reveal none other than Mr. Hartwood himself, ducking down to peer into the tiny room. Behind him, Mona just could see Tilly's whiskery face. "I knew it, sir," said Tilly impatiently. "I knew she was in here." Mona's heart began to pound. Tilly had told her not to speak with the guests. It was a rule, and she hadn't just been talking with Sybil. She had been sharing secrets and listening to the swallows singing. But Mr. Hartwood didn't look the least bit upset. "See, I do. But hear that, too?" replied the badger, who was too big to enter the room but remained grinning in the doorway, with Tilly trapped behind him. "Miss Sybil, would you be so kind as to finish your song?"
I don't know.
"Please," encouraged Mr. Hartwood. Sybil paused, then nodded and cleared her throat.
Hartwood Hotel, where feathered and furred together can dwell, where rest can be had from troubles and fears, where wings can repair and joy reappears.
It was a happy, warm song of seed cakes and souffles, bubbly baths, and staircases that led up to the stars. It made Mona want to dance. When Sybil was done, not only was Mona clapping, but Mr. Hartwood was too. Even Tilly reluctantly joined in.
"Bravo!" said Mr. Hartwood.
"Very well sung, Miss Sybil. I am so sorry to disturb you, but we're looking for our maid." He gestured to Mona. "And we've found her again, and found something else, too. A voice."
"Yes,
what a voice."
"Miss Sybil, I know this is a trying time for you, but I must ask, will you share your voice with our guests?" Sybil gave a small peep. But Mona whispered,
"Oh, everyone would love it, and perhaps it would make your stay less lonely."
Sybil paused, then she slowly nodded.
"I guess, one song. You've been so generous to me, Mr. Hartwood. It's the least I can do."
"Of course, and if that goes well, and you do choose to keep singing, it would be my honor to waive your room fee in exchange and upgrade you to a proper bird room as well."
"Really? Are you sure?" stammered Sybil,
hopping off the peg in excitement.
"Sure as my fur," Mr. Hartwood grinned again, his eyes catching sight of the heart just below the peg. He tugged his whiskers as he glanced at Mona and then back at the heart.
"I wonder," he gave his whiskers a twirl. Then he cleared his throat.
"Well, well, nothing's wrong that ends in song. Miss Tilly had me worried about you, Miss Mona, but no need. Keep up the good work."
"Thank you," said Mona. She couldn't help but smile.
"Humph," said Tilly, but only under her breath. To Mr. Hartwood, she said, "I'm glad everything turned out, sir."
Then they all left Sybil's room to return to work. Mona was the last, and when she waved goodbye, she saw that instead of a tear in the swallow's eye, there was a twinkle.